Fischer, Marco und das andere Mindel von der Portfolio Committee on Social Development. And we also have the DDG for Social Development that has a responsibility in terms of social security, and an extra special welcome to the South African Older Persons Forum that is going to give us a presentation on the state of older persons in South Africa in terms of their well-being, the challenges facing them. We're also going to have honorable members, if you get to listen to the chair, on the extent to which policies are implemented to meet the needs of older persons in our society, but also reflect on the work of the forum in terms of meeting the needs of older persons and government work in general, meeting the needs of older persons in terms of the older persons. Committee Secretary, any apologies?
There is an apology from the Deputy Minister, Honorable Dlamini. She won't be able to join us today. She's out of country until the 27th of August. Another apology is from Honorable Kenye, Honorable Malgas, who also attending another meeting on public hearings on trafficking of persons bill. And the last one is from Honorable Hanyako. He won't be able to join us today. And Honorable Makuba will join us later. Thank you, Shukete.
Thank you, thank you very much. Those are the apologies. Without wasting any more time, we'll go right into the presentation. I know that Mr. Jahoma will have to leave us early because there is another meeting taking place in the NCOP, that he also has to be there. We will just hold whatever questions there are, we can hold it over to the department for the stage. In terms of my voice, you'll hear my voice going deep, and then I'm just suffering from a bit of cold. I think my health is a bit adapting to the changing of the season, so please forgive me if I cough a bit. But without wasting any time, I'll give over to our guests to take us through the presentation. In terms of I think the format of the discussion, usually we have our guests making a presentation and our members then coming in asking clarifying questions, and then we discuss a way forward in terms of further engagement. So I want the forum to see this first meeting as a platform for further engagement with the committee. Okay? Yeah. Thank you very much. You just have to press the microphone. And yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There you are. Okay. Thank you and good morning. And we'd like to say thank you very much for your presence in this very, very important meeting, which is, as the chairperson has said, is the first time that we actually meet. And I think we've come a long way, chairperson, from the days of your budgets, speeches and so on. And today we are meeting the real people, the real implementers, which will help to implement the status of older persons. I'm going to then, as the chairperson of the forum, we're not going to be wasting time on introductions. We've got some executive members here, and as well as our members, mainly from the Western Cape. Because of traveling logistics, we thought we should just keep it local. I come from Limpopo myself. My name is Tom Boyer. Tom Boyer, the chairperson of the Older Persons Forum. And the person who's going to do the presentation is Rudolph King, who happens to be our national coordinator. He will do the presentation, but of course, when it comes to question time, we'll all be able to answer the questions that are going to be there. And good luck, and hope that will succeed. Rudolph, over to you.
Thank you, Honorary Chairperson, and members of the committee for inviting us to present at the meeting. I will get right into it, giving a brief overview. Just want to start the slide. Just a brief overview of older persons in South Africa. South Africa's population is aging. The birth rate is falling, and more people are living to a greater age. The HIV and AIDS pandemic is broadening the gap between the youngest and the oldest, placing new burdens on the older population and reducing their family support structures. The 2009 media population estimate of persons over 60 is 3.7 million, of which 7.55% of the total population. 58% of the 3.7 million are women. In most provinces, the population of older persons is 6 to 8% of the total population. In the 2001 census, the number of people aged 60 plus ranged from 95,000 in the Northern Cape to over 700,000 in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. The aging population spread per province. The two provinces with the highest population of older persons is that of Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. The lowest spread of older persons per province would be found in the Northern Cape, which is only 2% of the total population. Persons aged 60 to 85 plus per race, per gender, per province, you will see the largest spread of older persons are African females. Please allow me, also honourable members and chairpersons, to give you a brief overview of the history and the background of the South African Older Persons Forum. Organisations and individuals working with older persons and older persons themselves recognise the need for a coordinated body. International experience has shown in societies where older persons lack coordinated, institutionalised representation, age discrimination is common. While gathering submissions on the drafts for the Older Persons Bill via provincial workshops in 2004, the Human Rights Commission realized this to be true of the sector in South Africa. As a result, in May of 2005, the Human Rights Commission funded and appointed a coordinator to work for 1 year towards the forming of a national forum. The coordinator was based in the Human Rights Offices in Johannesburg, but the establishment of the national forum only constituted a portion of her duties. In August of 2005, the Human Rights Commission and the National Department of Social Development jointly called and funded a national convention to consider the establishment of a national forum for older persons. More than 200 delegates from 150 organizations, which includes community-based organizations, non-profit organizations, faith-based organizations, government departments, and individual older persons attended this convention and unanimously approved the establishment of the SAOPF. And the interim committee was elected. The task of the interim committee was to establish the SAOPF as a legal entity and to bring the forum to its first AGM or inaugural meeting. Directors were elected to the interim committee according to sectors. This was to ensure that all sectors would be represented. The sectors were weighted to ensure that there would not be domination by one particular sector. I will get to the specific sectors in the next slide. However, there was a general consensus among members that this system would eventually need to be replaced with a more representative and workable system.
At this, convention, the former Minister of Social Development, Dr. Zolas Guyia, gave his assurance that the department would commit themselves to the establishment of the National Forum for Older Persons. The sectoral representation system of the SAOPF looked like this. The first sector was individual older persons. Individual older persons, non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, and faith-based organizations made up another sector, academia, the private sector, network and forums promoting the interests of older persons. Networks and forums, just a note, was established as a sector because there had been existing provincial forums when the SAOPF was established. Individuals and organizations from rural communities and individual war veterans and organizations representing the interests of war veterans. The vision of the SAOPF, a society for all ages in which the contribution of older persons is acknowledged. Older persons can experience security and personal fulfillment. The right and dignity of older persons are respected, and older persons have a role to play in the development. The mission of the SAOPF is to identify and articulate the concerns and needs of older persons as voiced by them and in consultation with government and other role players to ensure that these needs are addressed in legislation, services, and programs. The new structure of the SAOPF is called the Integrated Forum Structure. After the launch of the SAOPF in 2005, forums were established on provincial, regional, and district levels in South Africa. There is no one-size-fits-all structure for municipal, district, and regional or provincial forums, as each province has different challenges. While forums at municipal, district, and regional levels function as informal open platforms for older persons, forums on provincial levels are formal and registered structures. It is the responsibility of provincial forums to see to it that forums are established at all levels in the province, taking into account the unique geographical layout of their province to ensure maximum participation of all in the sector, especially older persons, extending to grassroots level. The SAOPF is an umbrella organization to which most NGOs, faith-based organizations, and community-based organizations that have an interest or work directly with older persons belong to. The forum is now, according to the new structure, provincially also representative. Directors are nominated and elected at provincial level. Just a brief organogram of what the structure, the integrated forum structure looks like. This is just for your information. I can also note that the forum is a Section 21 company and a non-profit organization. Provincial forums do exist in some provinces. They are registered. They are mostly registered as non-profit organizations. Provincial forums function independently of the South African Older Persons Forum, as they have separate NPO numbers too, in order for them to apply for funding with their respective provincial governments. On to the issue of the status of older persons in South Africa, and I will start honorary chairperson and members with home-based care. Keeping older persons in their communities as long as possible means that they are able to continue with their roles of advising, educating, and transferring skills to their children and grandchildren through storytelling, passing of cultural values, and religious beliefs. Caring for older persons has become everyone's responsibility, but in reality, these services are mostly provided by NGOs, faith-based organizations, and community-based organizations. Despite the emphasis on home-based and community-based care and the recognition of the importance of the family unit, these services are largely underfunded. In rural areas, home-based care services are almost non-existent, and those that do exist are generally underfunded. Despite the emphasis on home and community-based care, the SAOPF was informed by the department that although a set of guidelines for home-based care is desperately needed, no money will be available for this in the foreseeable future, and that donor funding would have to be obtained for the guidelines to be drafted. On to the issue of frail care. One of the major issues, or the major challenges, is that there's a substantial difference in the costing models used by provinces for frail care, as no standard currently exists. Costing models should be in line with the regulations, so that, i.e. the norms and standards. Proportionately, the biggest line item contributing to the cost of frail care is the salaries of care staff. NGOs are losing nursing personnel who opt for career paths that offer better remuneration. Frail care companies, frail care comprises mainly of health care. Although the Department of Health lays down the requirements for frail care, they do not fund it. The DSD subsidizes frail care. The SAOPF, as a note, have established a task team to investigate the issue of frail care, and one of the recommendations of this task team is that the department and a suggestion to the Department of Health and the Department of Social Development to jointly subsidize nursing personnel. Payments of subsidies are frequently delayed and in some cases paid retrospectively. Suitable turnaround times for payments should be standardized and processes are to be streamlined. Payments of subsidies are frequently delayed and in some cases, the exclusion of geriatric nursing science from the training curriculum of nurses will negatively impact on the quality of care for older persons, which is especially detrimental to frail care. The Department of Health, on the basis of a letter written to the Nursing Council by the South African Older Persons Forum, requested the Nursing Council to review or revisit this decision. The request was sent last year in 2009 in October. To date, the Nursing Council have failed to respond. On to the issue of healthcare. A countrywide survey of medical practitioners' attitudes to geriatric medicine and older patients conducted in 2004 showed high levels of disinterest in the subspecialty by doctors and negativity towards aged patients. The investigators concluded that South African medical practitioners' attitudes towards older patients are ageist and based on negative stereotypes. However, it is encouraging that younger doctors are more positive about geriatric medicine and older patients than their older colleagues. Due to the fact that geriatric medicine is hardly included in the undergraduate training of healthcare professionals, many doctors are ill-equipped to manage older patients at a primary care level. The South African Nursing Council this was a point I mentioned in the previous slide. The South African Nursing Council informed training colleges that the new qualifications registered with the NQF no longer include courses in gerontological nursing science or gerontology, which include geriatrics. At public hearings conducted by the South African Human Rights Commission into the public healthcare system in 2007, older persons expressed extreme dissatisfaction with the service. Their complaints included inefficient appointment systems, long waiting times, client overload, understaffed facilities, shortages of medication, unavailability of assistive devices, and healthcare personnel perceived as not doing thorough examinations, not explaining to older persons about their health or health problems to them and not treating them with respect. I beg your pardon. The SAOPF, as a note, conducts provincial workshops in all provinces, and at each and every workshop, the issue of healthcare is mentioned by all the older persons in the province. some older persons expressing extreme dissatisfaction with healthcare services, saying that healthcare personnel and healthcare staff have absolutely no respect for older persons. Social Security. In 2007, the Minister of Social Development at the time, Dr. Zola Zgweiya, announced the following in the budget vote in the NCOB. We will recommend that the means test for old age pension be removed as soon as possible and that all people meeting the qualifying age receive the old age pension. To ensure sustainability of our pension system, all employed South Africans must save for retirement. The new pension system must reflect the system of solidarity, which is the South African cultural thrust of the spirit of Ubuntu. Our proposals will ensure that the cost of saving for retirement be reduced significantly. Honorary members, the South African Older Persons Forum at our third annual general meeting resolved that the forum should negotiate with the Department of Social Development in working towards the abolition of the means test as it applies to the old age grants. The South African Older Persons Forum formally requested that a committee be appointed to investigate the cost of implementing the means test for old age grants, as opposed to abolishing it and using the money saved to extend the grant to all older persons. It is the view of the South African Older Persons Forum that to police the means test, the cost amounting to that or attached to that is significant. Part of our proposal to Deputy Minister Dlamini was that older persons that applied that do not qualify according to the current means test, that the money simply be pulled through back through tax. Our proposal regarding the abolition of the means test would also mean that the application process, which is problematic at this stage, would be significantly changed and it would become easier for older persons. When they become 60, they can apply for an old age grant. Social Security on the issue of application points, Honorary Chair and members. The SAOPF, as well as the Black Shas, has monitored SASA application points and found that the elderly are standing in queues from early in the morning waiting to apply for a grant. The Black Shas Community Monitoring and Advocacy Project, monitoring an application point in Balhar, Western Cape, found, for example, that the longest waiting time was 13 hours for a male aged 61. The earliest that an applicant arrived at the application point was 1:15 a.m., female 60. On to the issue of pay points. SASA contracts three major service providers, namely Cash Paymaster Services, or CPS, AllPay and Empolweni. The trade union and hardware accused SASA of being enemies of the people, following a report that SASA was paying 1 billion rand to outside contractors for poor and inexcusable service and accused the organization of gross misappropriation of public money. The service provider CPS is responsible for paying 65% of the country's social grants and pays grants in KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Northwest, the Eastern Cape, and the Northern Cape, paying 4.5 million people per month. Allegations of blatant violations of server-level agreements and human rights in regard to the payment of pensions abound. At an SAOPF workshop in 2010 in the Northern Cape, an allegation was made that CPS provides loans to grant recipients and charging them as much as 50% interest. The SAOPF have in the past not only tried to give it to SASA, if I may use the term, but we have engaged SASA on various issues. The time span for our quarterly meetings started in 2008 already. We started engaging SASA then. We engaged SASA, and an MOA between SASA and the SAOPF is currently awaiting the signature of the acting CEO, Mr. Pakadi. The following issues that were highlighted in meetings with SASA. There are still pay points lacking water, toilets, seating, shelter, or fences. In Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Northwest, and KwaZulu-Natal, long queues prevail, with some pensioners spending up to 8 hours in a queue. Many pensioners travel long distances to pay points, which is costly. Help desks are not always available at some pay points. At some pay points, no medical assistance for those who take ill while queuing. Faulty machines and incorrect payments are common complaints in some provinces. In some areas, pensioners are paid through local shops and grant recipients forced to buy their goods. Abusive behavior by staff at pay points is common. In many areas, hawkers and loan sharks continue to harass and exploit pensioners. Honorary Chair and members, I believe a picture speaks a thousand words. The next slide will contain pictures of a certain pay point, and Honorary Chairperson and members will no doubt see where the pay point is, but we promise that we will not say where the pay point is. But please take a look at the next slide. Thank you, Honourable Members and Chairperson. My next slide will contain the issue of abuse. Abuse of older persons is rife in all provinces. there has been an increase in the reporting of abuse as a result of increase in ongoing awareness. World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, or WEED, is an international day observed on the 15th of June this year that has contributed to the increased and ongoing awareness. The National DSD has distributed metal purple ribbons to sustain the awareness day created by WEED. It is a false perception that elder abuse only occurs in residential facilities. The majority of older persons live in communities where elder abuse is more difficult to expose and investigate, especially in rural areas. The focus of the Older Persons Act 13 of 2006 is broader than that of the previous act, and it aims to protect older persons living in communities as well as in care and residential facilities. Implementation of the act will require intersectoral collaboration among government departments and between these departments and their civil society partners. Increased budgets for services to older persons will be required if the act is to be properly implemented. HIV and AIDS. The HSRC report in 2009 on HIV prevalence rates found that men over the age of 50 are in the HIV and AIDS priority risk group. The HSRC study also showed that communication programs aimed at educating older persons about the pandemic had failed them. 37.8% of people in the 50 years and older age group are not getting the message. The Mthande Society for the Aged in KwaZulu-Natal said this: older persons face discrimination around HIV services because of wrongly held assumptions about their sexuality, including the belief that the disease only affects younger people. Older women are in many instances the primary caregivers of children and grandchildren, often by HIV and AIDS. Dr. Warren Parker, former executive director for the Center for AIDS Development Research and Evaluation, said this: the lack of reach into the older age groups has been raised repeatedly in previous studies, yet nearly 4 out of 10 people aged 50 years and older are not reached by any program. In a study done by a Community Agency for Social Inquiry, CASE, and the DSD on the status of older persons in South Africa in 2009, it showed that only about 17% of older persons received municipal RDB or government-subsidized houses. The study also shows that many older persons have never applied for an RDP house, despite them needing one. Limpopo and Eastern Cape provinces recorded the lowest proportions of the respondents who received a municipal RDP or government-subsidized house. According to the study, very few older persons benefited from the government-subsidized housing program, even though the policy stipulates that recipients of old-age grants are eligible for the housing subsidy. Honorable Chair and members, the next slide contains more information regarding older persons that have never applied for municipal house but needed, never applied for a municipal house but needed, got a municipal or RDP government subsidized house, applied for a municipal or RDP government subsidized house. You will notice in the province of Limpopo, the lowest percentage of persons that received a government subsidized house, also followed by the Eastern Cape. The Older Persons Act. The first draft of the bill appeared over 10 years ago, yet it was finally signed into legislation in December of 2006. Since 2006, the SOBF has fought hard for the regulations to the Act to be finalized. Draft regulations appeared in 2007 and again after extensive consultation were finalized and gazetted on the 1st of April 2010. The draft implementation plan for the Act has been finalized, but no timeframes are attached implementation by the provinces. Since the Older Persons Act came into effect on the 1st of April 2010, information regarding the progress of provinces to relating to the implementation of the Act is not always accessible. The implementation of the Act and regulation by provinces is of crucial importance as it relates directly to the services older persons can expect and how the rights and dignity of vulnerable older persons, especially in rural areas, will be observed and protected. The SAOPF requested an update from all provincial departments regarding the progress of the implementation plan of the Act by provinces, but response seems to be delayed. Provincial coordinators start with a portfolio of older persons only. We have also, in our meeting with the Honourable Deputy Minister Dlamini, also stressed this point. In our experience, when provincial coordinators' portfolios include that of children, people with disability, and older persons, the latter seems to get the shortest end of the stick. Coordinators that have three portfolios cannot cope with their workload. The evidence of this is clear. In provinces in which the coordinators administer three portfolios, older persons' forums are not getting off the ground, service delivery is negatively affected, and on the whole, older persons feel that they are being sidelined and neglected by the department. Honorary Chairperson and members, the next two slides is just for your information. This is part of the draft implementation strategy of the Older Persons Act by the department. The Directorate for Care and Services to Older Persons. For the Act to be effectively implemented by the department, a substantial increase in the budget of the Directorate for Care and Services to Older Persons is required. The budget for this directorate is exceptionally small in comparison to that of other sections or directorates within the Department of Social Development. Partnerships between government and civil society have been formed so that services may be provided to older persons. However, adequate funding of these services is an issue. The budget allocated to care and services to older persons, both at national and provincial level, is inadequate to ensure the implementation of the Act, the rollout of service, and effective advocacy. NGOs, non-governmental organizations or NGOs offer a range of services to older persons. The services they offer include social support groups, training and education, income-generating projects, frail care services, transport to health facilities, luncheon clubs, and home-based care. NGOs remain largely underfunded despite delivering services to older persons, which the DSD is responsible for providing in terms of legislation. The situation violates the rights of older persons as laid down in the Constitution and the Older Persons Act. Services to older persons, especially those in formerly disadvantaged areas, need to be brought in line with current similar services to older persons in more affluent areas. Delays in payments of subsidies and a lack of consultation with the DSD result in frustration on the side of NGOs and ultimately inadequate service delivery and a lack of compliance with the requirements of the new Act. NPOs report delays in transfers of funding that has already been allocated causes disruption of services to older persons. The impact of the judgment of the Free State High School. This was a judgment delivered in 2010. Three NPOs brought a court application against the DSD after several years of serious frustration about the way in which the department dealt with transfers or subsidies of NPOs. The judgment of the Free State High Court instructs the Free State government to come up with a better policy in respect of funding of non-profit organizations. The judgment is relevant for NPOs and provincial departments of social development in other provinces, as well as the Free State policy on funding of NPOs is almost identical to that of the national policy, which covers all provinces. The judgment notes that 1,400 NPOs are currently funded by the Free State Department of Social Development, and that the department is dependent on the NPOs for delivering services which the department is responsible for providing in terms of various laws, and in particular the Children's Act and the Older Persons Act. The judge ordered the Free State Department of Social Development to revise its policy on financial awards to NPOs. Because the department had failed even to pay the already allocated subsidies, and because there were no indications that there were indications that the department lacks leadership or capacity the judge decided to impose a structural interdict, which means that the court will supervise the implementation of the court order by the department. And again, the last bullet, it is relevant to other provinces as the Free State funding policy is identical to, almost identical to that of the national policy. And the next slide, Provincial Older Persons Forums, I will not go through the whole slide except to say that the only provincial forum that is funded by the Department of Social Development is that of the Western Cape. The forum in KwaZulu-Natal is part of the Premier's services to older persons in the Premier's office in KZN. Many of the other forums remain unfunded, and in some provinces they are really struggling to get off the ground. I will give this to you as information. Thank you. The SAOPF has the mammoth task of representing the voice of a very vulnerable and fragmented sector. But in partnership with government and other stakeholders, this voice can be augmented into a united front. Given the number of successes in the SAOPF short lifespan, there can be no doubt that challenges still to be faced will be overcome, and that older persons in South Africa will be recognized as the valuable and unique resource that they are. Honorable Chair and members, I thank you.
Is there anything that the members of the board would like to add to the presentation before I give over to the members?
Maybe, Chair, before we say anything, I just want us to correct the parliamentary language and the mistake that we've actually been making. There could be a very big difference between an honorary member and the honorable members. So I just want to correct that we are actually addressing the honorable chairperson and the honorable member, not honorary, because it could mean something else. I just want to correct that. It's very important. Thank you very much. Maybe we should actually deal with the questions now, chairperson. There are a few issues also which would maybe during question time we could also be able to address. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Boyer.
As an
old person, I'm not supposed to be an old person, I know that, but I think I'm the only person sitting here, 81 years old, and as the older person, may I please say that? May I? Yes.
Is that?
I know. Well, even if you're 81 years old, you have to respect meeting procedure, and you have to be exemplary in that regard.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, if you are a member of the board, you see the one challenge I have is your chairperson of the board have already concluded on the matter. So can you wait with that comment until we have the members have finished the question? Okay, thank you. Honourable members, it's your opportunity now to raise some questions and clarities on the presentation. Okay, I've recognized two members, Honorable Member Masilo, Honorable Member Tsweta, and then Honorable Member Nelson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to thank the presenters. It's true when the Freedom Charter says people shall govern, they are really governing. And we thank the forum for that, the board. My question is, I'm not sure whether I heard it all, to say all the provinces, they've got coordinators and part of the forum. I just need a clarity on that one. And also, there was a proposal that the health department was a request from the forum that they had to subsidize the older person's facilities in terms of care health. And the last point, Chairperson, I just want to check if the forum also assists the older persons, those can't afford to get exempted from the local authorities in terms of this policy that if they can't afford, the local authorities, they have to subsidize them in terms of the payments of services. Thank you.
Honourable Member Masilo, can you mm-hmm. give over to Honourable Member Center?
Thank you, Chair. So my first question would be clarity, and then I have a general comment and a question. One is the first one is the term of office of the SAOFPF. Because this was established in 2005, whether they have a structure as this, because I understand it's provincial, regional, and district level in South Africa. How do they survive? Because I didn't get anything concerning finances, and it's Section 21 company, as I was told. Clarity on that. Section 21 company, do they get money, or where is the part of the finances in the report? Because I don't get the side of finances. And then, Chair, I have more questions, but just to make a general comment to say, I heard the vendor talking about older persons that do not get houses and medical help when they are queuing. Whether, because when I'm looking at this, it belongs to not only in the social development. In terms of medical assistance, it should be health department. And also in terms of older persons that are not given housing. You see, RDP housing, it belongs to housing department. Whether for those reasons, do you have a kind of multi-sectoral committee that deals with these issues, committee that will be then of people from the housing department, also people from the health department that are looking at the committee that is looking at older persons. Because if you have that kind of committee, you'll be able to look at all these problems. Last question, Chair, is then the member talked of a policy that they do not have, financial policy. Is that what it's called? Did I get it right? Policy regarding finances. I marked it here, so maybe I'll come back to it, because I don't know what it is now, but I made a mark next to it. I'll come back to it. Thank you. But it was around policy on finances. I'll come back to you, Chair.
Honourable Member Nelson.
Thanks, Chair. Mine, I think, is going to be a simple question to the forum. Does the forum in their mind think that since the inception that you were able to make any differences, or that some differences have been made? And if they feel that there are stumbling blocks, besides the presentation that has been made, what do you think in your mind is the stumbling blocks that are preventing some things to be done? We've also picked up that the MOA has been drafted but hasn't been signed. Mm-hmm. When was this MOA drafted?
so that we can get an idea of how long it's on the table, that, you know, that it hasn't been. Check is now paused there. Thank you.
Any other members? Honourable members that would like to ask questions? Honourable member Nelson, you have another question.
Yes, Chairperson, the other part of my first question was, you obviously deal with SASSA, but further to that, whether you have any dealings within the municipal level, at municipality level and provincial level, for instance, whether the SAOPF is recognized as an organization and takes part in the IDP process, for instance, at a local government level. You know, that it's not just at the national level, but through right down on the ground, at structures right down on the ground. Thanks, Jefferson.
Honorable Member Kopane. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I actually feel shamed what I've heard today, what we're doing to the old people, because those people, the place where we are today, we should be looking after them. I'm still sharing the same sentiment with my colleagues here, because I believe, especially after the frail care, I believe is a health issue. The Department of Health is supposed to be also on board in terms of funding the home-based carers to look after the aged people, so which means we need to talk hardly with the Department of Health. It's not only the responsibility of Department of Social Development. The other thing, Chair, I just wanted to find out regarding the exclusion of the geriatric nursing science. Luckily, I happen to be a nurse. I've done the geriatric. It is part of the community. You can't do community nursing science without the geriatric. It's part of that. So I wanted to find out, when was the exclusion being done? Because the people that I met, they're still doing the geriatric nursing. Thank you. I found what I wanted. There are no pages, but it's under pay points. And the last bulletin says at a SAOPF workshop in the Northern Cape, an allegation was made that the cash paymaster services provide loans to grant charging them 50% and interest. And I want when the presenter was presenting, I was having questions whether this is we have a policy that says the money, the loans should be given to older persons. And also the amount of interest, well, 50% is too much, whether it's the government policy or it comes from individual. Thank you.
I think the way you've put it on the member Twitter, this can be answered by the Department of the South African Social Security Agency, because they are here. Yeah, on the 50% policy issue. And the loans and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. I think I have a question in terms of the payment of old age pension, and it's direct at the forum itself. You see, we've seen in the photos that you've shown us, but also in your presentation, people are queuing. Now, one way of eliminating or shortening the queues are for people to migrate to banks. Now, the good benefit of it, people get paid at the beginning of the month instead of waiting for the 15th and so on. Now, have you, as the forum, encouraged older people to migrate to the banks? Because that would then also eliminate the issue of being tempted. See, because people have choices to take out a loan or not, to buy groceries on credit or not. People will then not be tempted to go that route. That's number one. Number two, the issue of budgeting. Do you also, in terms of your program of action that you have, also encourage older people to save, to budget, and just general awareness in terms of financial management. Then government provides a basket of services. Now, some of these services are not sometimes up to date, up to standard. We know in terms of health services, there's still a lot of challenges. But government, in terms of your free basic services, you get certain kiloliters of water for free. If you're a pensioner and you're registered as indigent, you get certain kilowatts of electricity. And then there's certain other benefits that you get as a pensioner in terms of traveling and other issues. But do you also then go around to certain businesses and so on to procure some of these benefits for older people? In most cases, older people need champions to do this for them. So how far have you gone in terms of fulfilling that role? Or what challenges are you facing in terms of fulfilling that role? Because when I looked at what you're doing in terms of your lobbying and advocacy, I think that's very important, especially the lobbying issue. And I don't know whether it was Honourable Member Masilo or Honourable Member Nelson or Tweke that raised the issue of housing. Whether you lobby the certain sectors, not just in government, because sometimes we stay just at government, but also in terms of the private sector. What we've done, we've called quite a few forums, NGO forums, businesses. We've called corporates to come and tell us what they are doing in terms of their social responsibility program. Now, they haven't had any focus on older people. They usually focus on the youth and in and food security projects and so on. So have you gone and lobbied? We have had companies like Estel. We have companies like Nestle that came to present to the committee. Have you actively gone out and lobbied big corporates to shift their focus a bit towards older people, restoring the dignity of older people, and directing some of their development funds towards older people? The other question I want to ask is, we had two fires in the country, and older people died in those fires at some of the institutions where they lived. It looks as if your occupation and health, the safety issues, has not been really looked into in terms of emergency exits for older people at those two institutions. And there has been no emergency evacuation plans and so on for older people. People are just concentrating on the sentiment, but they're not looking at the responsibility that the East institution has, that they have been housing those older persons, that have been deriving a benefit from those older people in terms of keeping them safe and taking them to a place of safety if their safety is in danger. So that focus has been taken away. And I want to know what is the forum's opinion on that. Because if you have two incidences in 1 year, I'm sure a third is on its way, which means there is a weakness in the system somewhere. And I think, as members of the committee, that is a point of interest to us. Now, my other question is on HIV and AIDS. You touched on a very interesting point to say that older people doesn't have access to medication and also advocacy. And advocacy because in terms of HIV/AIDS awareness, where there's a focus on younger people and not on older people. And you also speak about the infection rate for the over 50s, which then means your mortality rate for a certain age cohort is a real danger now for an increase in the mortality rate for a certain age cohort. What I want to know is, have you engaged with, because the two departments that deals with that will be social development in terms of their life skills program, but also the advocacy program, as well as health, for them to have a shift in focus or to include advocacy programs for older people in terms of HIV and AIDS. The issue of and also them having really in terms of the provinces advocating and lobbying for older persons to have access to ARV sites, because ARV site is not exclusive to a certain age group, it's there for everyone. But how do you make sure that older people get there for the ARVs on time? I think that is very important. And I wanted to ask the issue around geriatric nursing, but you've really, Honourable Member Kopane, been referred to it. So let me stop there because I have loads of questions, but because I think we should still come to the issue around the time frame for the implementation of the regulations, and because I wanted the department to respond to the costing. So I hope you've left someone behind that can respond to the costing of the regulations. Yeah, right. So we will just then look into that. But let's leave that for after the questions have been replied. I'm sure you will also now give your other members an opportunity, Mr. Boyer, at the appropriate time.
Make sure that we do follow a sequence. I will start by answering some of the questions, and of course my honourable 81-year-old lady will give you a chance.
Not 81.
She is 81. Not behind you, Mary, not you. And then from there we will then pick up on whatever is left that is to be answered. Also, in the interest of time as well, we don't want to waste too much of your time. We know that time is very precious, but at the same time we need to answer this. Okay.
Mula? That's my one question is to the forum, and I would like to know what SASSA's response was to the problems that you highlighted on, I see you have quarterly meetings with SASSA, so what was the response of SASSA on problems highlighted, pipe points, lacking water, toilets and whatever? Did they ever come back to you? Is there an improvement in your challenges that was highlighted? And then my other question was also on the 50% interest. Is SASSA aware of it, and what did SASSA do about it? That question was asked. And then to SASSA, my last question is to SASSA, why do we still have the situation of elderly applicants having to wait plus minus 13 hours? And I had two queries on this last week that I had to deal with. Bearing in mind that SASSA told us that we'll have a turnaround of a one day turnaround on applications, especially for the elderly people, and that they will be attended to immediately if they are seen at the pay point. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodolphe, will answer those questions. Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. Let's first deal with the questions that were asked by Honourable Masil. If the provinces, all of them, if they have coordinators, the answer is no. They don't, all of them don't have coordinators. I think the only one that really has a coordinator is the Western Cape. And of course, we know the reason is because it's been funded. The others are actually not funded. The others, what happens is just ad hoc. The KwaZulu-Natal, for instance, is assisted by its Premier's office. Limpopo, where I come from, we are also assisted by the Premier's office because some of the Premiers have got offices with the status of older persons in them. So that's what they usually use to assist us. the question of older persons' subsidies. We find that in most cases we don't get any subsidies. Everything that is actually done is ad hoc, and it really depends on the mood of an official, if they actually want to assist you or not. And in some cases, we find that we have problems with things such as transport, difficult to bring people to meetings. We can't. And the people tell you that, no, we don't have vehicles today. Well, we don't have social workers to bring people to meetings. So it makes our work very, very, very difficult. The question of affordability with the local municipalities. You mean? Yes, the indigent policy. Yes. That as well, we are still, we're busy tackling it at the Older Persons Forum. And one of the difficulties that we still have ourselves, some of our provinces are not well organized up to the point that they can now move scale down to a regional level, or as they call it, to district levels or even local levels. Well, that's what we're still busy sorting out. But in those cases where people can go to their municipalities, we do inform our people whenever we have got workshops. We are conducting workshops throughout the country. We have already done some in some of the provinces like Mpumalanga, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and so on. We're almost about completing that. But we haven't really scaled down to that level. We need to go down to that level where we discuss with the municipality. I'll give you an example of what's happening in Limpopo, where we are now. As the chairperson, because I'm also involved with the local forum there, I am meeting the district mayors of the area, and that's what we should be doing in all our provinces, meeting the district mayors and discuss these issues. Well, these policies are there in each and every municipality. It's just that they are not being implemented. So we'll definitely be appreciative if we could get help to get to that very quickly. But I think the biggest problem is the question of funding. As soon as these forums are well-funded, then we'll have a less problem. Honorable Chwete, in terms of office, yes, our term of office is 1 year. Actually, I'm due for an election now in a few weeks' time, on the 5th or on the 6th somewhere. And in 2 weeks' time, I don't know whether I'll be retained or not. So we do it every year, though we have changed our framework a little bit. Now what we are doing, it is the provinces that send us representatives. Because we want this to be as representative as possible. Yes. For instance, luckily in Limpopo, I have been nominated to serve. So I will be in, the question will be battling for the position of chairperson if we have to battle. Maybe we might not. Each region has sent us a representative. So that is that. And we are doing it every year. We have hold an AGM every year in the month of September. And the second question that you asked was in the question of the finances, and I'm sure Rudolph will give us an answer on that. The question of housing and the medical assistance, when it comes to health and so on, and of course the involvement of other departments. The question of the multisectoral, we're meeting this department. We have discussed that with the National Minister of Social Development and the Deputy Minister, Ms. Matabile Dlamini. And this matter is actually being attended to. I think a meeting of MINMEC also will soon be arranged, where we can actually discuss these issues, because we find that there is a lot of overlapping, especially when it comes to things such as housing and health. And I think also we can get a lot of assistance from the MECs, because the MECs are in such a beautiful position that they actually hold, most of them hold two portfolios. They hold the portfolio of being MEC for health and MEC for social development. So to them it could be very, very easy, but some of them, to meet them is a very difficult thing. They are very busy, very busy. And to meet them, I mean, it's not that we haven't tried. We've tried to meet them. Some of them is very, very difficult to meet. And I'm sure out of all the 9 provinces, there's only 3 MECs that have actually met any of the various provinces, which I don't think it's not very good. It's not good that they don't. Maybe they've got other very serious priorities, like the youth and so on. Maybe the older persons, you know, their time is. Yeah. The question of the policy on clunch, again, Majority, Honourable Member, the 50%, I think that SASA will be able to assist us with the answer to that one, and maybe Rudolph can ask. Honourable Member Nelson, yeah, since the inception, have we seen any difference? It's a beautiful question that you've actually asked, and I like that question. Yes, there is a huge difference since 2005. At the time when we actually started, older persons were scattered all over. There were various interests, and everybody doing their own thing, and we were totally not coordinated. One of the most important, crucial things that we actually were involved in was bringing into fruition the Older Persons Act. We love it. I noticed some of the members are actually fairly new in this committee, but long those days, I still remember how we used to, with Mary to rock here, how we used to come around here and lobby members. And incidentally, one of them has actually become our member now, Mary Winkil Direko. She's actually, it's a pity she's not well. She would have been with us. And we used to lobby them and so on. And of course, eventually, that thing has now taken place. We actually have the act, and actually, we're very happy that that act is actually there. And what makes us even more happy is that at least now there are regulations, which have been passed from the 1st of April 2010. The issue now is a question of implementation, and we're very much aware that the Department of Social Development is very busy with implementation. We had a meeting with them recently where they've rolled out how the implementation is actually going to start taking place. The MOA, Rudolph will actually be able to respond to that. The issue of SASA. And SASA, there's a lot of questions about SASA, and I prefer that the people of SASA actually answer those questions on the municipal level, the recognition at both local and provincial level. Yes, the provinces that are properly functional, there is recognition. We are having consistent meetings with the districts, and also with local. We're already on three tier now, which is good. We have a local forum, a provincial forum, and a national forum. The local forum feeds into the district, and the district forms feeds into the province, and the province then feeds into national. So that when that thing works well, then we'll have less and less problems, because I think governance actually should take place at a local level. Honourable Kopani, the frail care, the Department of Health, the exclusion of geriatrics, that terminology. Pat Lindgren is an expert on that. He'll answer that. The chairperson, the payment of old age pensions. Yes, the issue of the banks. Let's start with that. Can I just say that I'm sure by now, SASA, the Department of Social Development, and everybody, we would have been far. If it was not of the old persons themselves, including myself, we want to count the real money. We want to see the 1,000 rands. We want to see it in real form, that this is money. That is the biggest problem. That is why these older persons don't believe that their money should go into some bank or somewhere and be told. You know, it's like the money you pay for Lobola. You know, you actually count them. And then you are satisfied. You cannot accept Lobola via electronic bank transfer or anything like that. So I'm sure we are eventually getting there. But in a nutshell, Chairperson, without wasting time, we are encouraging our older persons to go and get their money paid in the banks. We are even talking to government and talking to SASA and say, maybe why don't we start even with the child grant? These young girls and young boys that receive grants, those are very good when it comes to electronics, their cell phones and so on. They see the money in there, they educate the old lady. Maybe that's where we should start. Let everything that is paid for the children go via that system, and then they educate the older persons. Eventually, I think that is the reality, because we don't want to see pictures like this. When we visit this paper, this is nothing what you've actually seen here. There is a place in Mokopane I once went to, in a post office at Mokopane. The people were there for 2 days. And when you ask them, why are you here for 2 days? No, we... And there was not even water in that particular place where they were. And they said, no, we want to get our money. To them, they just want to get the money. And of course, it's also very dangerous for them, because that is when some of them are marked by their own great-grandchildren and so on, relatives and neighbors and so on and so forth, because they have this cash. And so the solution, we would like to agree that the solution is in the banks or some system, some payment system that will make sure that they get their money every day, which also links to your question of the budgeting, that we are on education that when the money is in your account on the first of the month, it does not mean you must withdraw all of it on that day. You can go to a facility whenever you need it. If they have a particular smart card or something, they want to use 20 rand, they go and use 20 rand. Or they go and use 50 rand, or they go and use 100 rand. That way, whatever is left is saving. And eventually, that can accumulate. Because really, some of them don't really need that much money. But if all that money is there, it's also got a chance of being stolen right in the house. Mm-hmm. I have answered your two questions. And on the services, the health, the question of water, electricity, and so on. I think we've already partly answered that. But I want to emphasize that it is our duty to make sure that all these municipalities understand when older persons come to apply. I said they should not even be applying. The municipalities, they've got so many workers there. They should be sending people out to go and meet older persons and tell them that they have got disadvantages. Or whenever they go and pay, all they need a person to produce an ID. The ID, the minute it says 50, it means you are 60 years, like me. I was born in 1950. It means I'm 60 years. I don't have to be asked a question. All it needs to be is that a particular service must just be activated. Not that we should necessarily apply. The question of lobbying, yes. The focus, I agree with you, definitely is on the youth. And even the companies. Rudolph, how many letters we've sent? Maybe 100 letters. And how much response we've got? Maybe 2 positive. Yeah. We do send out letters. Even, I mean, a place like Old, I mean, it's named after us, Old Mutuals. But they wouldn't even dare think of sponsoring Old Mutual. I mean, people like that should be falling over their feet for using our name. But they are not. I think the only 2 real sponsors we have at the present moment is the Lotto people, Lotto, and Absa Bank, of course. And also I'll answer another question, whether we get anything from government. I'll come back to that one. The issue of fires. Honorable Chairperson, the fires that are recent are not even 2, they are 3. The first one is Gwamatala in KZN. We're still waiting for answers on that fire. Then whilst we're still waiting for that answers on that one, then we had the second fire right here in the Western Cape. Was it Rostov? We had that fire, people died. And then now recently, we have had the fire in East Rand, Dunato. In near Springs, where something like originally 18, now there are about 23 people that died. Okay, with that one, and of course also the previous 2, we have made noises, but apparently our noises are falling on deaf ears. On this one, of the recent one, luckily I was in a position to organize some donation, and I managed to get 13 boxes of elderly diapers, napkins for older persons. It was one of the biggest needs. So it was about 1,140. We did take them there and presented them there. We were working very closely with our social development in Gauteng, as well as the office of the mayor, Mayor Themba Mikwe. What's her name again? Mikwe, yes. The mayor there. Dombi Mikwe, yes. Dombi Mikwe and the office. And we're able to do that donation. And I think we've also got in touch with the Department of Social Development and asked them what is happening. And the department has promised that there is an investigation that is going to be done. And we've asked to be included in that investigation. We'd like to go with them and see really what is going on. These fires have got to come to an end. We also have a document, Chairperson, and in that document, which we have actually produced after these fires, where we want things like the evacuation that you talked about and the environment and so on to be looked at. And possibly I'll ask Rudolph to send you that document that we have actually sent out. Thank you. And the, on the issue of HIV and AIDS, the answer to this is very simple. We want to be included in the SANAC committee. The older person, for some reason, the youth is there, the children are there, people with disability are there, and everybody is there. And all the other social partners are part of SANAC, the South African National AIDS Council. The older persons are not there. I don't know whoever drew that up. Maybe they forgot that they were older persons. They're not there. And that is where major policy decisions of regarding HIV and AIDS are taken and eventually sent to Parliament and so on. That's where it starts. That's where the roots start. But we're not part of that. So we are, I wouldn't say fighting, especially the fact that there are strikes in South Africa, we might be regarded as that. No, we're not striking, but we are saying it's a very clear fact, Chairperson, that we have to be part of SANAC for us to move forward. And the issue of the ARV sites and so on and so forth could be then easy, because SANAC, we know that it escalates down to the provinces and eventually to local AIDS committees. We could also be involved there. Thank you very much. Almost the last question from the Honorable Lamula. SASA's response to the problems, I would like Rudolph to highlight that, and also the next question. And that's it. Thank you very much. Chairperson, if you allow me. Yes, your question, ma'am. Come, can you come to the mic?
I thank you very much for this opportunity. First of all, I'm going to start backwards now. First of all, the fire issue. My name is Myrtle Christian. I am in an old age home. But although I'm in an old age home, my body may be kaput, but my mind is perfect. So I still have all my faculties going. Thank God for that. Starting backwards about fires. We have the firemen come in there and check our fire equipment every quarter, and it's been found in working order. Our hoses, our fire extinguishers, our doors for escape, perfect. But the only thing is that now, which I've looked at, is the plans for evacuation. That we haven't had for a long while, so that I will bring forward to the home. Fortunately for us, across the way from us, we have a sister home for the independent living, the more fitter persons. I'm in frail care. So if there's evacuation, we'll most probably be evacuated to the fitter section, just across the road from us. Coming down to banking the pensions. When we bank our pensions, this is something that has to be looked at very carefully. And I think that is why older persons are a bit reluctant to have their money in banks, because when money is withdrawn, they are charged. You are charged for withdrawing your own money. So that's another thing that has to be looked at. I've been speaking about this. I even spoke to Trevor Manuel about it. And he says, why don't you older persons get together and start demonstrating? Because, I mean, it's our money put in the bank, but when we want to withdraw it, we are charged. And that's then we're not seeing that money. Well, I don't see my money at all. My change that I get from the home is 179. So you see, I don't see the rest is all for my board and lodging and whatever else. Now, what I do want to also speak about is loan sharks. I've been talking about these loan sharks for many, many years already. They are really a menace, and one has to do something about it. Older persons are the people, as I pointed out, the pioneers of this country. But just to add to what Rudolph has been saying, that we do go through a lot. We've been through a lot even in the health department. We've had our medications cut. We've had our medications removed. There are people that don't know what's going on. And you know, with older persons, if they don't have their natural, their ordinary tablets that send them into ballistics, they go into a frenzy. I don't have this tablet, don't have that. And the most important thing is, when they get to a hospital, you find that doctors have this, and I spoke about this at Kruiterskie. I spoke to a number about six doctors. They will take that older person, they will examine her, they won't have the decency to tell her what is wrong. They will write down in her folder and then tell her, go to the pharmacy and they will give you your tablets. And she hasn't the faintest idea what is wrong with her. She goes to the pharmacist and he will say, it's written on a package, two tablets, then two tablets and one at night, and she still doesn't know what's wrong with her. Now, these are things that have to be looked at. You can understand when a person is suffering from Alzheimer's, that person will have a carer with her. But you that are fit, I went there and I had a person take my blood pressure, and I said to them, I'd like to know what's my BP, and she argued with me. The sister, I said, look here, it's my body, I want to know what's going on. So then she realized she wasn't talking to an Alzheimer patient, so she told me what's going on. But I mean, this is how we are treated, as though we are bits of vegetables, and it's not right. The other thing I'd like to speak about is, and this is just to wind up what Rudolph has been saying, you know, I had to jot it down that I don't forget. We older persons, we are people more important than possessions, wealth, and ambitions. We are people that you cannot deny us the right to that importance. Then you take away from us our most basic human rights, namely dignity. You demean and devalue them, and in so doing, you demean and devalue yourself as well. So this is something that we must keep in mind. Older persons are the grassroots of this country. We have come through the Second World War, and I'm inclined to think that people in government forget that they are going to get old and how they're going to age. This is so important. That we have to be nurtured. We have to be cared for properly and not just discarded as garbage. I've said this before and I would like to say this again. That you get the person that goes in for vintage wines and he's very careful about it. He'll say, I'll just give you a small trot to taste and nothing more. I hope everyone can hear me. Then you get the lady that goes in for vintage furniture, antique furniture. Ooh, polishing all the time. This is from this century and that from that century. Don't forget the guy that goes in for vintage cards. God help you if you scratch his car. He'll bugger you up good and solid. Excuse my language. But we, us older persons, we are the vintage of South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorary Chairperson. Honorable. Perhaps I should do it in Afrikaans. Achbare. I just want to focus on a few of the questions that remained unanswered, as well as perhaps colouring in a few of the others. First, let me just say on the structure of the SAOPF, it's a registered non-profit organisation, and a Section 21 company registered with CIPRO. The reason why the non-profit consortium advised the forum to register as both was to obtain international funding, which the forum is in the process of doing. In regard to the question on our finances, we can provide you with our audit reports. We are funded by the Department of Social Development, the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund, as well as APSA. And we are in the process of negotiating funding with the European delegation to South Africa. In regards to multi-sectoral collaboration, we at the SAOPF have established a round table in which we aim to include all government departments, including that of the Department of Health and of Housing, the Department of Justice, for us to discuss the issues relating to older persons that affect other government departments. One has to note, however, and I say this with the greatest of respect, that many times it is based on the sentiment of particular individuals, whether they are willing to participate or not. I just want to get to the next question. The MOA has been drafted last year, I believe. We believe with the changes of the CEO that it might have been delayed, but it is currently on the desk of the acting CEO of SASA. That is as far as we know. The exclusion of geriatrics, I believe, was in 2009 that was announced. 2009 that was announced by the Nursing Council. Just on the issue of the payment of pensions in terms of educating older persons to migrate to banks, yes, our chairperson, Mr. Boyer, has pointed to the fact that older persons want to feel the money in their hands. But there's also other issues. In many places, people don't have access to ATMs. And in certain instances, people have migrated to, for instance, the Post Bank. But the Post Bank doesn't have the capacity to deal, and it's an even bigger problem. There's no easy answer to this. I think a lot of thought would have to go into that. The reality is that many older persons are still receiving their money through pension pay points. Sorry, I'm just reading the question. Again, on the issue of housing, that we have also invited the Department of Human Settlements to our roundtable. They have to date not responded. Regarding the two fires, I would believe, and speaking personally, I think it's not only a black and white issue. In terms of were there proper evacuation procedures? The media reported that there was, and certainly we also made a media statement to this regard, asking that the report that of the Kwabadala fire in KwaZulu-Natal, that happened in 2005, that report has still not been released, which means that the victim, the families of the victims still don't have answers, and we can't make recommendations based on that. But in reality, many of the homes, yes, some of the homes, the fire escapes are locked, but the fire escapes are locked for reasons of security to keep thugs out. Unfortunately, in some cases, it also kept the older persons in. We don't know this for a fact, but we think that is what happened in the Kwabadala fire. In the fire in Nigel, I believe the media also reported that there was an evacuation plan for that particular home. I don't know whether that's just a media report or whether that is true. We have recommended to the Deputy Minister we would like to see an investigation into the fire safety of all homes. One thing that NGOs have also noted to us is that, yes, fire detection equipment is very important, but it's also very expensive. More affluent homes, yes, they can afford that, but homes in rural areas cannot always afford that type of equipment. And in addition to that, electrical equipment like stoves and fridges are old and can also result in fires. I just want to explain one thing about the structure of the SAOBF, because a lot of questions related to that. The SAOBF is a separate non-profit to provide provincial forums. They have an own board of directors elected at district level. We can provide guidelines for district forums, but we cannot interfere in their day-to-day running. Usually, provincial forums are either established by coordinators that have taken an interest in all the persons in provinces, and in some cases, for instance, the KwaZulu-Natal, that has a very active forum extending to every district. The Office of the Premier have taken an interest in that particular forum, and also funds that particular forum. In regard to SASA's response to questions, the relationship between SASA and the SAOPF is not a strained relationship. We are discussing these issues. And many of the answers that SASA gives us is capacity, budget, the inheritance of staff from the previous provincial departments. There are some very real issues that SASA as an organization has to deal with. But I believe this question would be best answered by SASA themselves. I'm quite sure I've answered all the questions. Unless there's one still outstanding.
Add something which may be confusing people a little bit. This notion of coordinator, we use coordinator, and we have a national coordinator who is Rudolph, and the Western Cape has a provincial coordinator who is Valencia and Conkey, but the department also has coordinators, and each province has a coordinator for older persons. And the problem with that coordinator is very often they have multiple tasks, so the older persons are just one of their tasks. In the Western Cape, we are fortunate to have an annual budget from the department, not a big budget, I must stress, but that's enabled us to appoint a coordinator here in this province. She's just started work now, and she's now in the process of setting up district forums and helping district forums to operate. So we are hoping that once and it's taken us 2 years to get this provincial forum off the ground in terms of actually having staffing. And we're hoping that this will roll out to other provinces gradually once we've worked out the formula here. Thanks very much.
Over to SASA now to respond on DSD.
Good day, Chairperson and honorable members. Chairperson, indeed, we met with the South African Older Persons Forum, and they have given us a list of their concerns with regard to service delivery issues. To mention some of them, they spoke about citizens who sleep over in our offices in order to be the first to be serviced. They spoke about those who come to our offices so early in the morning, as early as 1 a.m. They spoke about people who queue for long hours in order to be serviced by SASA. Together with them, we came up with solutions on how to overcome those challenges. We have agreed, and we have already started, Chairperson, to introduce queue walking. If you come to our office, you don't have to wait there for long hours without being attended. We have senior personnel at our service points who go through the queue, attending to the people as they come to our offices to understand as to whether we have all the required documentation and what is the purpose of you coming to the office, so that if you are coming for just an inquiry, you can be quickly attended to. You don't have to wait for long hours to be attended. We have also agreed that we need to look at our capacity levels at all service points. To make a simple example, Chairperson, if in terms of our capacity we can only attend to 100 persons per day, and there's about 500 people in our offices, we don't have to to make them to wait up until 5 o'clock to be told to come the following day. We'll make a booking arrangement for them, appointments for them, so that they can come at an appropriate time. And when they come, we'd even tell you we'll be attending you at what time. You don't have to wake up early in the morning. If in terms of the appointment you are number 5, we'll tell you that you must come between 10 and 12, so that you don't have to wake up at 1 a.m. to be attended only between 10 and 12. Those are the improvements that we have agreed upon together with the Older Person Forum. Also, Chairperson, we looked at the question of the challenges of us moving people to the banks, because the Older Person Forum was saying, by moving people to the banks, we are creating problems at the banks. What is it that you are doing in order for SASSA not to compromise the dignity of the older persons? We have engaged the banks, and we have agreed with the banks that we must stagger payments when it comes to the banking payments. We stagger payments as follows. The first 2 days will be dedicated to the old age grant beneficiaries and war veterans, the first 2 days of the payment cycle. We go further, Chairperson, to say, on the first day, it's only those who are born between January and June will have their money available. Because if you say we are giving them 2 days, they'll all be there on the first day. Therefore, you need to manage those queues as well. On the second day, it's going to be July up until December in terms of the date of birth. And we have discussed the matter with the Older Person Forum, and we are in agreement. We go further to say, on the third and fourth day, is only disability grant-related payments for children and older persons. Even then, we use the date of birth as a staggering arrangement. Therefore, on the third day, is only those born between January to June, fourth day, July to December. It's only on the fifth payment date that the system will be open to all those who are paid through the banks. But we are also saying, if you are an aged person, we are also getting grants for children. Your money will be available on the first day. We don't have to come time and again to the banks. However, Chairperson, there are still challenges with regard to subsidization of bank charges for those who choose electronic payments as an option to collect their dues. We are in discussions with the Banking Council to come up with a funding arrangement of subsidizing those beneficiaries. Because if you collect your money in a cash pay point, you get the full value of the grant amount. But if you go to the bank, you are responsible for bank charges. Hence, we are in discussions with the Banking Council so that we can get a better rate to be able to subsidize those beneficiaries. And we also believe it is cost-effective for our people to be paid through the banks. Also, their dignity will not be compromised if we stagger payments so that you get your money under conducive circumstances and you don't have to compromise your dignity. With regard to loans that are being provided by CBS, there is no provision in our service level agreement that permits them to render such services. In the Eastern Cape, we took them to court, I think about 3 years ago, and we won the case because our contract with them is to render payment of social grants, not to provide loans at all. And if there's any place in our country where this service is still being rendered, we'll renegotiate if that can be brought to our attention, because we do have a court order against them already. We can use the Eastern Cape court order to call them into order and also impose some penalties. The question asked about the one-day turnaround. Chairperson, we have introduced an automated grants application process called IGAP. For the current financial year, we are only implementing that system in Free State due to budgetary constraints. We have since made a financial bid for us to be able to roll to other provinces, but as from 1st April next year. But be that as it may, Chairperson, we are making all endeavors in ensuring that social grants applications are finalized within 21 days. We are also mindful of the fact that the regulations and the Act are saying those applications should be finalized within 90 days. But due to the improvements we are putting in place, we have an average 21-day turnaround in the country. Therefore, I want this to be on record that the one-day turnaround is only applicable in Free State. However, in instances where we utilize our mobile offices anywhere in the country, we are able to achieve that one-day turnaround when we go out to those villages in the deep rural areas. But the official position is that IGAP is being implemented in Free State for the current financial year. Chairperson, in conclusion, we had a two-day workshop with the Older Persons Forum. They invited us to organize the workshop because they were saying nothing about us without us. Hence, we met with them, we discussed all the issues, we have agreed on a possible path to resolve all the challenges facing us. We are working together with them. Thank you, Chairperson.
For that, Honorable Member Makakula.
Thank you, Chair. My question, it will be based on to SASSA. I hear SASSA said they are in the process of the negotiations with the banks. My understanding is this. The service providers, those who pay pension in the PayPal, they won the tender. The tender is allocated by the person. Some they get 29 rand for a person. Some they get 30-something rand. The person who came, and then SASSA gave the money. But when you look at the bank charges, if person is get money from the bank charges are too legal. But the problem there is that the charges is not to SASSA. It's charges is based on the person. So I don't think that is a matter of negotiations. It's a matter of transferring a certain lump sum to the bank. That will also save SASSA with the old people, I think, Chair.
Chairperson, thanks. Mine is to SASSA, to the CEO. The challenge in the signing of the or the MOA, the draft MOA, when that is going to be signed, because if we look through it, it has been coming on for a very long time. If we can maybe just get if there's a hiccup with that or when it's going to be signed. And then when looking, we don't see any time frames on the implementation plan. We know that there are financial constraints, but if at least we have some kind of guideline that we can work towards, if we can just know why there are no time frames around the implementation plan. Thanks, Jefferson.
Sure, I just want to make a comment. My mother gets pension, and she's got a belief that if she doesn't go on the 1st, the money will be all taken by the bank. So I've been educating her. So I'm just thinking the way USASA is going to do this, that of you go there because you have an appointment or because of a birthday is on such and such a date, it will need much more education of the older person because they have their own belief. I've spoken to my mother until the mom, as if my mother is a joy path. So he gets up early in the morning. She stays there until she gets the money. But, you know, you are dealing with people that are like, it's like, if you say others are getting on the first, her belief will be that it will be finished on my day. When I go there, my money won't be there. But my belief says I don't want to change your vision. But look at how you give money per district, like areas, rather than birthdays. Because if next door, a friend of mine stays next door to my mom, if she gets, I got my yesterday, my mother will go there and sleep there because a friend of hers next door got her salary, her pension the previous day. So if you do that, please make sure that you come up with certain workshops and education so that they understand, because it's going to be very difficult. The last thing, Chair, is around, I'm a bit worried about, you know, coming from where we went, Chair, Brazil, because the question of a bank, once we have our own bank like the way Brazil has, we're not going to suffer that much because they have their own bank, they have their own ATMs, they go there nearer to them. But the difference with us is that Eastern Cape, I'm talking about my province, is very vast. For my mother to get her pension, she must get into a bus, go a long way, and then come back. And sometimes in the rural areas, if there are no ATMs, she has to wake up and get a 6 o'clock bus. And queue there, even if the money, the pay points are starting, Rudolph, at 10 o'clock. But my mother will be there at 6 o'clock, because her belief is that the money will be finished if I don't go there early. So a lot of work has to be done around education of older persons. Whether you do workshops, whether you do the coordinators, educate them how they are going to get their money. Otherwise, it's not going to be easy. But I don't want to discourage you. You are going to have a hard time. I know from my mother. Thank you very much.
I'm taking the last two questions from the honourable members, Honourable Member Masilo, and then Kopano.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to find out from SASSA that this card system and appointments for pensioners, is it implemented in all the areas or all the provinces? Because I think it's working well in one area I visited in Mpumalanga, called Senotlolo. In Bloemfontein, next to Kwamhlanga, where my aunt and her husband are getting those pension payout. They've got this card system where the one will go at 10 o'clock in the morning and other will go there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And there are not a lot of queues. If you go there, you find 20 to 30 people within 30 minutes' time, they've got their pension payout. I just want to find out, is it all the provinces or all the districts that are doing that? If that's the case, I think it's a good system that can be implemented. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is that is to South African Older Person Forum. I didn't hear anything about advocating for the old, because what is happening in my province, there are so many old age homes that are being funded, even by social development. But most of our old people, they are denied access to go to be admitted in those old age homes. So it is still a problem. So many people are struggling. So do they ever try to come up with a campaign or go to different old age homes? How to manage for people to get access to be accommodated in those old age homes, because it's still a problem. Many people, being the community home-based carers, sometimes they don't even manage to go to see that old person every day. Others are staying on their own, so it's a difficult situation. And Chairperson, I just wanted to find out regarding the judgment in the first state. I did talk about it last week. What about the finance model? I couldn't hear the answer that you asked, because it's still a problem.
Honourable
Maybe my follower would you like to ask a question? Fine.
First of all, let Julie, you had some advice you wanted to give us?
It wasn't... Thank you, Chairperson, and the members at large. It wasn't about the judgment in the Free State, because we were told Free State is still supposed to come up with a model or a, how do you put it, the manner in which they pay the grant. They need to indicate how do they, say, come up to a certain unit cost, like their unit cost is 1.7. So they need to inform the organizations, how did they come to that 1.7 in the caring for a frail care person instead of the 6,000 that they pay for as a unit cost once the old age home is estate funded. So they need to come up with how they reach their 1.7 unit cost. So I'm not sure how they'll go about that one, but it is still a problem. And then what I was trying to communicate with Tom was to say, maybe one of the members asked, what would be the greatest hurdle to be removed by this house to assist them to reach their destination? I was thinking that the greatest hurdle would be that perhaps if the government departments, as mandated by the Act, is able to appoint this collaborative structure at a parliamentary level, I'm not sure, so that those people who are appointed to represent certain government departments in that forum, they are able to report back to say how far they've gone in getting the needs of the older persons met, because currently health and social development are the key role players, but the two departments do not talk to each other in terms of how they fund. And if you go to an old age home and you find that the older persons are struggling to get nappies and so on, social development would say the expertise is with health, but health will say we're not responsible for subsidizing the old age home. But if these people were reporting here, maybe they would be able to indicate what is their role. Also, other government departments that are critical may also be able to be put in that particular structure, which is mandated by the Act. But the Act is silent to say to who should this structure report to and how is this structure going to be funded. So those are some of the things that are left loose. Thank you, Chairperson.
Still on this side, can Pat deal with the question of the old age homes, the question of admission? Finalize with the finance model.
Yes, Honourable Chair and members, no older person should be denied access to a care facility. The only acceptable reason would be that the facility could not meet that particular older person's care needs. But the new Act says that if an older person applies for admission to a facility and access is denied, they have the right to ask for a letter outlining why they were denied access. As I said, the only reason that they should be denied access is if they cannot meet their care needs or if the facility is full or there are no vacancies. But certainly then if there's no vacancies, they should be put onto a waiting list. But nobody should be denied the access to care.
Regarding I believe it was the funding model on frailty. Was that what the question related to? Yes, the funding model. There is no standard that currently exists for that. And part of the reason, and I know the department will assist us here, is that unit costs differ. The unit cost in KZN, for instance, is higher And I think that has been the very big hurdle in standardizing this. But there needs to be some cohesion between provinces in terms of how frail care facilities are funded.
Thank you once more, Chairperson, and honorable members. Chairperson, the question with regard to us just subsidizing without entering into any formal arrangement with the banks is going to be problematic. Because it's not only a question of us asking banks to pay money. We expect banks to give us management information on a regular basis for us to be able to minimize fraud. Because if you don't do that, our own officials can put money into artificial bank accounts. But if we don't get a reconciliation from the bank, we'll be unable to account for the public funds that are at our disposal, you know. Therefore, we need to commit banks to give us management reports on a regular basis. At the same time, if there are any dormant accounts, if banks should be able to inform us about those dormant accounts, we're also saying to the banks, social trans beneficiaries, when they open those accounts, they must open them without any deposit from their side. Also, we should not have a minimal balance in that account for that account to be active. If you want to withdraw all your money, you should be able to withdraw all your money. You must not be compelled to leave a certain amount to keep the account active. So are the issues that we're putting forward. Therefore, it's important for us to have an MOU with the banks so that we get reconciliations on a regular basis. Also, Chairperson, it is the choice of a beneficiary to choose the most appropriate payment method suitable to them. We cannot impose. We have interacted with the older persons. Some are saying, as much as I'm paid through the bank, I do go to a pay point to socialize with the people of my age. You cannot take me away from the pay point. That's the only opportunity we get to discuss our own issues. Therefore, we need to respect those cultural issues, you know, that come up. But moving forward, in respect of the MOU, we have discussed the MOU with the Older Persons Forum. We have agreed on the content of the MOU. But in terms of our protocol issues inside SASA, it must be legally vetted. Now, it is at a stage where the legal department is looking into the contract from a legal point of view. After that is done, the CEO will sign that MOU so that we can have a formalized relationship with the Older Persons Forum. We hope that before the end of this month that will have taken place. With regard to the implementation plan for IGAP, in terms of our financial bid to Treasury, we are saying that we'll be phasing IGAP over 3 years. This is the first year. We'll have another 2 years, but we can have IGAP throughout the country. I agree with the Honorable Member, Mrs. Schwete, when she says we need to embark on a comprehensive consultation and marketing and interaction with regard to the new payment arrangement around electronic payments. Because we need to educate our public. They need to buy in. Hence, we have put aside 2 months to do that. We cannot just implement without interacting with them. It's our responsibility to educate our people about how we conduct our business. We have drawn up a business plan. It has been approved by the CEO. We'll be going out in terms of interacting with all the relevant stakeholders in this regard. With regard to the rollout of the booking system, we have requested provinces to identify the most challenged areas. There was one reason to say in a particular area we have a problem of overcrowding. We are currently targeting those areas, Honorable Member, but we have also said to regions they must roll it out throughout the provinces because we want our people not to wait for long hours. We want our people to get services under decent conditions, and we don't want to compromise their dignity. So far, there is a buy-in from all the stakeholders that we interact with. But we'll also appreciate if you can get feedback from all the persons forum in this regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Often that the last two questions people asked was the two members, Kopani and Masilo, because of our time constraints. We are running into serious time constraints with our meeting. Is there the gentleman next to you from GST or SASA?
He's from SASA,
okay. Because I asked a question concerning the time frames, why there was no time frames around the implementation, the regulation. But if you can take that question to your colleagues in TSD so they can reply in writing to us. But I'm also going to give Mr. Soraka just an opportunity, short opportunity to reply to that question.
This issue of time frames for the implementation of the Act and regulations is of great concern to us. The provinces have been asked to prepare implementation plans, and I know in the Western Cape they're saying that this will commence in the new financial year, 2011-12. But it's still very vague, and there don't seem to be any priorities yet. The regulations, as you've probably seen, it's 130 pages. Where are they going to start? What are the priorities? And my feeling is that it would be very valuable to the forum and to the department if your portfolio committee could consider this issue in greater detail and help us to drive the process, because it needs to come down from the national. The big problem is funding. All the provinces have had a cut in the budget for older persons in the present financial year. So services have in fact been cut. Subsidies have been frozen. In this climate, it's impossible to start trying to implement a new act. It's just cloud cuckoo land. So the question of budget, you know, does have to be interrogated very carefully, and we need also to know what are we asking for, you know. Where do we think, you know, the budget should be focused in the first instance? But we must make a start. That's my feeling. And I do hope that the committee will continue to run with this. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank the older persons, the African Older Persons Forum for a very informative presentation. I think you've made a good impression on the honourable members of the committee in terms of highlighting the challenges that you face as a forum, but also in terms of highlighting the plight of older persons in our country. We've taken up the issues of older persons, the issues that you've raised. I'm sure there's some issues that, as a committee, when we deliberate on the presentation, as we will look into the way forward. But I don't see this as the last meeting that the committee will have. Hopefully, from the presentation that you have, and when we interrogate the department around the implementation plan on the regulations of the Act, we will invite you, although we know that an Act can be implemented without regulations. But there has been some progress made with the gazetting. I knew that there were some hiccups with the Department of National Treasury when the regulations were costed before it could be gazetted. So I think that is an area that we need to give a special focus to. And when we discuss the program of the committee, that is an area that we will look into. But thank you very much, and this meeting is adjourned.